Hi, this is Keith Wooden, and welcome to Story Mosaics. Hey, I want to thank you again for coming to us on this Tuesday and listening in. You know what, when I look at the analytics that are part of Story Mosaics' tale, if you will, our story, it is amazing to me to see who is listening to Story Mosaics. And they're from all over the world. Many of you are my friends, but most are not. Most are people that just believe in the power and the purpose of stories. And the fact is that stories kind of link us all together. And so as we tell our own stories or we hear others' stories, it sometimes creates within us a connection point with them. And sometimes it just connects to our hearts. So thanks for joining us on Story Mosaics in that respect. And I always want to remind you, where do our stories come from? They come from you. The fact is that some of you will write to me at story.mosaics1@gmail.com and you'll tell me about your story. More often, I find that many of you write to me and say, my friend has a story and they have to tell it. And I love both of those emails. And they are the way we hear the stories of Story Mosaics. Each week, I receive those kinds of emails from people and I appreciate every one of them. This week's a little bit different because I'm sitting down with a friend of mine, Brent Henderson. You've heard him before on Story Mosaics. He actually helped us get started with a story from his life and what a story it was. And he launched us well in that. Brent and I are really close friends and we meet together regularly at Panera Bread over a cup of coffee in a 1 hour scheduled meeting. Well, it's scheduled for an hour. But after six cups of coffee, we're talking a little fast and it's two and a half hours. And we've solved most of the world's problems by then. No, on a serious point, we do. We enjoy one another so much and we just let the conversations be free reign. But one of the things we said a few months ago is, what happens if we invited our audiences? What would happen if we joined forces and just let you sit at the Panera Bread coffee with us and listen? That's what we're doing today. And what we're going to do is just grab a hold of one of the topics that has been kind of percolating in our hearts for some time. That is the divisiveness that we see within our worlds in religion, along fault lines of politics, along fault lines of family. And we see it driving wedges that for some have made them stop talking with one another. And we just decided, let's just sit down and have a conversation about that, of how we, though different in our own perspectives sometimes, find a unity that is unbreakable. Hey, we've already started, so join with us right now.
And I wanted to start off, and you know this story. And Keith and I will be real honest. We'll be sitting there talking about stuff, you know, how do we handle, because both of us being, you know, pastors or being in ministry and dealing with people all the time, you have people that see things the way you do. You have people that don't see things the way you do. They have one way that they see that they think that the Christian life should be, another way they think you should be doing it this way. And the problem is it divides, it has come to the point where we are now so divided. It's when we say a nation divided, that's a big picture. But I want to bring it down. I want to really narrow that down. It is separating parents from their children, pastors from people in their congregation, relatives, husbands and wives. I mean, you name it. And I remember sitting down and telling you something about my wife, Stacy. You know, she hasn't been on Facebook now for about 6 months.
Wow.
I think she's made like one post. I'll even say, hey, did you see that scripture or something I put up to you? Because you know I don't get on there anymore.
And that takes a lot of discipline because she was passionate about Facebook. It was one of the places where she had her voice.
It was. And because she has an amazing story, and you heard her on here years, maybe a year and a half ago or something. But she, you know, she never really cared much about politics. You know, she grew up with a certain political viewpoint, you know, because of the way she grew up. And then she began to ask questions, you know, after we got married and things. So she began to kind of research and really look deeper. And I think that's wonderful. But I think as a person is finding their voice in that, we begin to side or see people that see things the way we do. And we tend to maybe get a little more vocal about it. And that's okay. That's okay.
It's called confirmation bias.
Well, and it's, yeah. And it's like, but how do you handle that? Is it a dialogue? Or is it, does it become an argument? And arguments are okay. Tension is okay.
Yeah.
But how are you handling that difference of opinion, right?
Right.
Facts are facts, truth is truth, but opinions are opinions.
Yeah, you know, the old joke is, you know, with regard to opinions, is opinions are like butts. Everybody has one,
right?
But most of them are cracked.
But oh, that was good. Yeah, I'll probably do that at home, and I'll get the bad dad joke.
Yeah, that's right. You'll get the bad dad joke.
But so she had posted something, and the post was honestly misunderstood by the way she worded it. And it's difficult when you're on social media. You feel like you're spinning all these plates to make sure that no one's going to be offended anymore, right? You're running around the room. I got to keep that one spinning. I got to say it this way. You know, and when you have to keep doing that, after a while, you become exhausted. And you go, you know what? Is it really worth the effort anymore?
Yeah.
And when she put this post up, let me just kind of set it, and then we'll get into this discussion. It caused a big division with someone, you know, it was a friend close to her. And so much that they were, you know, for a couple of months not talking to each other. And it wasn't that she wanted that, but it deeply offended the other person. So we sat down, you know, we talked about, say, what possibly could have been misunderstood the way you said it? Would you have said it any differently if you could have, would have, should have, you know, kind of a deal. And finally she said, you know what? We can talk at home about stuff, but I don't think I want to put it out there, because whenever I put something out there or I see someone else put something out there, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. It seems like someone on the other side is unhealthy enough that they will go on the attack, you know, with the name calling, character assassination, trying to prove a point. And rather than becoming a good listener, we begin to try to take control of something to prove we're right. And so I want to kind of start with that. And, you know, with Keith, we're going to get into this. And I want this to be a conversation like we do when we're at Panera, where it's almost like you guys who are listening to this, you don't exist right now. Not to mean to be mean.
Yeah, seriously.
But I want you to kind of hear the way we talk about it. So
yeah, you know, this is so interesting. The last 2 weeks, I've been in different places in church, okay? And over the last 2 weeks, this has been the topic, not the issues in particular, but the polarization.
Yes.
And there was a straw poll, just, you know, raise your hand. Just, you know, so in other words, there's not a plus or minus veracity to it in terms of whether it's an accurate poll. Just raise your hand. Do you feel like we're more polarized today? 100%. 100% of the hands went up, you know, and so it's pretty evident that we've got an issue of polarization around us. And then we, you know, it comes back to one of the things that intrigues me, and where we get into this or how we get into this is, you know, what is that basis? I mean, one of the things you mentioned there is that we have these opinions and ideas and places where we all come from. But what is the root of it? And so, you know, as we, you know, this is one of the things we talk about a lot in terms of our conversations, is what are the roots of what are these, this polarizing tendency? I mean, one of the things you just mentioned that intrigued me, because I had thought about it, then I thought, I don't know whether I'll talk about that or not, but what being one of them is proving a point or coming out of our own confirmation bias or our own concept. And then the other idea being, is it based on some of our own insecurities? Is this polarization based on some of our own insecurities and our need desperately to be right?
Yeah. To be heard, to be seen. Yeah. Do you care about my opinions?
Yeah. 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 I mean, that becomes a really big thing. And it may be that we're not as polarized. I know we're polarized. Don't get me wrong. I know where we're at, but we may not be as polarized as what we really think we are. If there's a big if there, if these things were taking place, if there was an unpacking of some of the motivations and the ideas and where we're coming from and things like that. So
I know this to be true, that when my anxiety, you know, anger, whatever that emotion is, begins to heighten, right? It's like that animal. It's like fight or flight. Now, I don't always post that stuff because I'm healthy enough, I think, to know better than to do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't still experience it and feel it. And sometimes really deeply, sometimes I'm shaking my head and going, what are you thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I do that with people on both sides. I'm like, what made you think that that was the way to talk about somebody whether it be a president, whether it be someone in Congress, the Senate, or a person who sees things differently than you do.
Yeah. We're not even just talking about politics. I mean, that's the nature of where you came from. But we're not just talking about politics in this. The polarization has become familial.
Yes.
Two things. One takes me back to a conversation we had. First of all, it started online, and then you and I sat down over at Panera a few weeks later. Is that you know from my history that I almost never, ever, 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 ever post anything political.
I remember seeing it that morning, again, and I know you well enough that you don't post anything political. And when I was kind of like, I messaged Stacy and I said, did you see Keith's post? And I said, I've never seen him post. I said, I don't know what there was a reason, but there must be something underneath it, an experience or something that's causing him to feel like I needed to say something. And then when you and I talked about it later, you're like, well, I was kind of like trying to see what was happening with people and how they felt about this situation. And
well, even I think it's really interesting. I think I want to go back to something you just said, because we usually speak out of our experiences, out of our connections, out of our ideas, don't we? I mean, there's something inside of us. And of course, C.S. Lewis, I sat with anger long enough until she told me her real name was grief. Right. I quoted a C.S. Lewis thing the other day.
I was going to bring that up today. I loved it.
It was a powerful thing. And I think you probably know this, that my family served for 15 years in the Ukraine as missionaries. And so I had a history with Ukraine in that one. And so it was very interesting to have that perspective. And I hadn't even really thought about that until you just mentioned it. Did I speak out of that connection? We don't always examine our internals, where we're coming from in those moments, do we?
And I've spent a lot of time in Russia and in Ukraine. I've stayed in people's homes. I've prayed with people in the churches, the underground churches. And so with all this stuff is going on, I'm going, okay, so we see people, you know, taking sides or whatever it is. And I look at this and I go, but there's good people on both sides.
Man, I had a conversation. It's very, very interesting because I want to go back into a personal experience with my son. And I don't think Keaton would mind me mentioning this at all. But Keaton and I had a time period in our lives where we had to work really, 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 really hard to regain relationship. And I'm saying relationship because there had been an extended period of time of radio silence between us. And so we ended up having some great conversations, rebuilding a relationship, and now it's in an incredibly different place. And so much so that we have been able to really revisit our differences because we're listening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, here's something that I think is so powerful, Brent. To understand the issue of being connected and defined. Let me invert those, okay? Defined and connected, okay? And I'm going to put it this way. If we're defined, we know who we are, what we're about, and we also are able to express that and act on that. That's only one part of being defined, though. That's knowing me. Okay, that's the one part. The other part of being defined, and I think this is so powerful, Brent, is the other part of being defined, and I think this is so powerful, Brent, is letting you know who you are and respecting you who you are, and also letting you express it, act on it, and act on it, okay? Then the next part kicks in. So we have, because Brent, you and I both know, we probably don't align perfectly on a lot of political issues, okay? And I think this is the reason why we're sitting here, in fact, okay? It's not that we are sitting on opposite sides of the table at all. We just have maybe a margin of error, if you will, on how we view things or the perspective we view things in. But I respect who you are so much in how you are defined. And how I am defined, and we have that mutual respect so that it's defined and connected, so that now we refuse to let anything draw the line between us. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. If I can't listen well to you or somebody else, especially I'm talking about we're in a relationship, not just reading a post, right? Then I am worried about being right. And this comes back to identity. And I always say it's always, always, always about identity. When people have to try to control a situation, a conversation, that they have to be right. And I've said this before, like in a marriage, if you have to win, you've already lost. And so when I think about these kind of conversations, if I don't know where my one true identity comes from, in other words, I am 100% complete in Christ Jesus who is in me. Everything I will ever need comes from him. If I get something out of line, he doesn't think less of me. If I get it right, he doesn't think more of me. When I can apply that same thing to people, and we're talking about politics today, if when I'm secure in who I am in Christ, I can listen to you. I can say, tell me your story, because I can tell you that hit a nerve. You're passionate about that. And I wonder what it is sometimes then that makes me, with my experience, I wrote something years ago. I think it was in my book. I think it was in The Roar Within. But it was something I developed called Guide. And I know, Keith, I've showed that to you before. And it really, all it is, it's a listening technique. It diffuses an argument. I'm going to go through it really quick. G stands for get some truth. You know, because both of us are going to have a reason. So we have truth. But it's not my job right now to try to tell you what I believe. I want to get your truth.
Get it.
Yes, I want to get your truth. You in Guide is understand before being understood. What's empathy, right? I want to repeat and rephrase because I really do want to get the truth. I want to understand before being understood. And the third thing is I, which is inquiry. It's now, hey, I'm going to ask some questions. Tell me why that was so important to you. I want to know. I want to know you. Everybody wants to be known. So then when we get to D is discuss my feelings. Now, I don't tell you my feelings until I've had a chance to do in Guide, G-U-I. Get the truth, understand before being understood, and inquire, ask questions. And when I ask questions, I want to do it. And here's one of the keys with that is I do it without an agenda. Because if I have an agenda, you're already going to shut down. If I start to put anything out there that's got the aroma of an agenda, you smell it, and immediately I'm going to protect myself here. I see where this is going.
Oh, man, that right there, I'm going to protect myself.
Yeah.
That's so key. And so once we get in a position where somebody is feeling like they have to protect a position or protect themselves, especially breakdown, then you got to go back up. You got to go back up into the guide.
You stop and go back to G again.
That's right. You do.
But once I know that they trust me, now that's one of the things we'll talk about in a minute is trust. But once I know that they trust me, now I can do D, which is discuss my feelings, because I've taken the time to listen to you, to care for you, to know that you're seen, heard, you're important to me. Then I can discuss my feelings. And now they're more willing to listen. And then E is encouragement. You know, it's bringing hope back into the conversation by something like, wow, I'm so glad I got a chance to really hear your point of view. I really respect that or whatever. But when we try to get louder, when we start needing to use derogatory words or a character assassination, I can't remember the exact quote, but I think it was Socrates. But basically, when we have to resort to those things, healthy dialogue is now gone.
That's right. That's right. You know, in one sense, I don't want you to go through those that quickly, because guide is such a fundamental principle. And I know it's going to be coming out in another book into the future. And yet the essence of it, because you shared it with me a few weeks ago, when we were upstairs in the room there, it was so beneficial to just have an acronym that was so easy to follow in conversations to disarm. And interestingly enough, one of the things that has been beneficial for me is to find that if I find those areas of commonality, if I find the areas of unity, then, you know, in that moment, we come into a whole new relationship. Brent, you and I were talking the other day, and it was so interesting because you brought up the Beatitudes, and specifically this Beatitude. It said, "You're blessed," or "You're," you know. And I love that blessed word, but man, it's hard to get our mind fully around that concept. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. That is the essence of guide, isn't it?
Yes.
That is the essence of God. I mean, when you finish the book, I'd put that one as the, you know, the little verse that's on one of the inner first pages. I'd put that right on there. This is the essence of it.
And is it Proverbs? It's 18. It says, the tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, words can give life or they can suck the life out of you. And when I think about the words, when people are spewing the vitriol that I see, one of the coolest things I'm liking about on Facebook right now is you can block somebody for 30 days. Now, I'm not saying block them because I want to unfriend you. I'm still your friend. I just get tired of seeing the vitriol. You can put your opinion up. I can scroll past it. That's fine. But when I start seeing people that all they want to do is put someone down and using derogatory names, yes, rather than having a plan, well, what would you do different? And why would you do it? Tell me your story, because you matter. See, when you start hearing someone from Ukraine's story about what they've been through, you have compassion for them. Same thing in Russia. When I sat down in the underground church and I heard some of their stories, yeah, I was moved to go, wow, you know, there are governments in this world that are evil. I mean,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But there are really good people there that are held hostage by this stuff that need their voice heard as well. And I think one of the things that has happened, when I see someone really posting in unhealthy ways, I think there are two things driving it: fear and pride. I think they are afraid that maybe something's not going to change and they see the need for change, or they're so prideful that they have to be right and they want to prove you wrong. And wow, anytime that I live in fear or I live in pride, those are, God gave us emotions. Emotions are healthy, but there's unhealthy ways to look at that emotion.
That's right.
And it can drive you.
Yeah. Okay. So help me subtext this for a second, because fear and pride, I would agree, are fundamental to the equation here. Okay. But help me subtext it is, where does the concept of our own insecurities, you know, this need to fight to be right, is that the subtext of pride still then?
Well, I think when you said a minute ago about anger and grief, I think there's a, when we get angry about something, there's a grief that we're not being seen.
And when we come back to that, so much of our grief, and grief comes in a lot of different packages. Most people just run to death when they're talking about grief, but grief can be in a severed relationship, in a divorce, in a friendship, especially with our kids, you know, and it's easy to retreat to anger in those moments. It really is.
I want to put something out there that I never thought I would ever talk about. God challenged me on this today, and I didn't know whether this would come up or not. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you very much. Huh?
But it's one of those things your Holy Spirit's not going to allow me to,
way to go,
to kind of get away from. I want to be really vulnerable here, and I'm going to share something. I don't know whether it'll bring up tears or not. I have no clue. But this whole thing, when we've been talking about people's experiences shape how they believe or see things. And you can both be Christians, right? And you can look at something, but you're looking at it in a different way. And you're going, I wonder why we're looking at things differently. So, was it Michelangelo? I forget who was the person that said, you know, as a writer, you know, tell your stories. You know, if someone should have acted differently, that's on them. Tell your story because it impacted you. Mm-hmm. Well, I've never written this in a book, but I just felt like, again, Holy Spirit was pursuing me. So you know my story very well, as good as anybody. And I've shared it on here, but you know me better than my stories that I tell on here. Well, it's been, I don't know how many years ago now, I was in a grace-based community of people that loved Jesus, that loved grace, that loved freedom, that really taught me what living out of my one true identity was really, really like. It changed everything in my life. And I mean everything, and you know that about me.
Yeah, yeah.
I went through a painful divorce, something that I don't think anyone ever wants to go through or think that they will, and that changes you radically.
Yeah.
You know, the way you think you're going to grow old with someone or family systems still getting together for holidays, or all those things that happen.
It changes everything.
And you know, we've both been through that pain. Different reasons, different ways, but we've both been through it. So within this community that I was in for so many years, invested my life, my family relationships, everything, when I went through the divorce, the silence was deafening from the community that I was in. And it wasn't just deafening. There were some things that I was uninvited to.
Yes.
You know. And a lot of the people within there, we were still friends even though we saw things differently. But because my experience felt like I was being shunned, and I think that's fairly accurate. I don't know that that was necessarily the intent, but I think that was what happened out of it. I still to this day can carry that. Now, I can choose to carry it, or I can choose to go back to my identity and remember that a person, if they're acting that way, it's because they're buying into a lie themselves. Yeah,
that's right.
Even people that believe in and understand freedom and grace, they still can buy into lies because God is not the author of the lie. The enemy is. So when we are looking at this thing we're talking about today, when we have differences and something gets between us, we know that God isn't getting between us, right?
Yeah.
The enemy loves to put lies in our heads. So right. he creates something within you to make you think a certain way because that thought creates feelings. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem. We have a media that loves to play on your feelings.
Oh, they have to. That's their ratings.
Yes. And so now what ends up happening is...
And they like to play on your anger.
The feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I feel... Whenever you're trying to identify a feeling, just start the word, like, I feel, boom, there it is.
Yep.
Angry. Afraid. And so now what happens is we act on it. And like what we're seeing right now, I'm only saying this because I'm seeing it on the news right now. People are lighting these car dealerships and cars on fire and painting swastikas and everything. Now, that's what we're talking about is it's one thing to protest. It's another thing to have one thing to have your voice. Everybody's free to do that. That's the beauty of this country. But when you have to result to those type of things where you're putting someone's character down, you are demeaning with names like we've seen some of these names calling, yeah. And that now violence, and even some, like we saw, you know, with two assassination attempts. I don't know how else to say, but that gets shoved under the rug. Well, I'm not trying to look at a party. I'm looking at a person's belief system. Why did you think that was the right thing to do?
Well, that laughter is a laughter of, this is beyond the pale of imagination.
It's crazy.
Sometimes. It's crazy thinking and how the tide can turn in a moment as to what we approve of and what we disapprove of. So, I mean, but you're right. Let's go back to that essence. There was this moment in that where the emotion, an unhealthy emotion based on a fundamental lie, okay? So we know that those two are going to couple themselves together with one another. And so that led to, and Brent, it couldn't be more appropriate because we were needing to send out an invitation today to a person who has felt very marginalized by us, my wife and I. And we wanted to make sure that we sent this invitation so that the person could understand, no, we don't want that. We want to build bridges. We want to build relationships. And so, man, when you're telling that story, it's not only yours, it's mine too. It's a personal story. Only in this case, I was the one marginalizing and you were the one in your story, you were the one who was feeling that marginalization from others. So, I mean, it's a painful reality.
Well, and when I said about the like a 30-day block, there are people that are my friends still on Facebook that don't see things the way I do. But it's not that I want to block them necessarily because their views are different. Sometimes it is. But the way they handle it. But to be honest, and I'm being really honest, it's because of the hurt that I went through because of the way that it was handled. It makes it difficult for me to hear their voice.
Wow. Okay. So some of them fell within that camp of people that had straight-armed you.
Yes.
And now the vitriol is still there in their conversations today.
And that's when I have to go back and say, God, thanks. I don't want to feel that, because that's why your post hit me about anger and grief. Because when I start to feel angry when I see someone's name pop up, I still love that person. It's not anger.
It's not anger.
My heart is broken.
You know, Brent, we'll rewind it for a while here. I've told you that in terms of the essence of locating people's lies, okay, and helping coach them through those lies, you are probably the quintessential. We both learned it from another source, okay? We learned it together, but you are the most quintessential assist or coach in helping people discover their lies, okay? But one time I was sitting across from you at Panera, and I remember this moment as well. We were just talking, and I could see how deep the hurt was. And I said, Brent, this is not something you can talk yourself through. This is a moment when you have to feel grief. It was over the death of your dad. And I told you, I don't think you've ever grieved your father's death. And, you know, we went through two deaths in our family in 10 days here. Actually, two deaths in 1 week. And so we as a family are having to deal with that grief. And I can argue with the truth and the lies, but sometimes I have to feel the feel before I can get back to going through the steps. Yeah. So, man, thanks for being so vulnerable in that moment as well, but also for recognizing when we're dealing with people, when we're dealing with, I'm going to use the word again, the vitriol that's taking place, when we're dealing with the polarization, we need to take the step back and walk through the guide, even if they're not present, okay?
Yeah.
We need to walk through that guide. And that's why I say, I don't want you to rush through it, man. I have to come back to this over and over and over. And this particular acronym has made more sense to me than any of the other acronyms. And heaven knows we've toyed with a bunch of them, okay?
Hey, what do you think of this one?
How's this one fit?
I changed that word.
Yeah. And this one registers. And it's, I think, because it's not just a really whitewashing the fence to make it look pretty. It's getting to the depth of real relationship. And that's what's hurting me so deeply about the polarization.
I think that if we were to go back and look at scriptures, all kinds of scriptures you can pull up on this. Believe me, today I was looking at them, and there's tons.
There are.
But I was thinking about just something that doesn't necessarily talk about the way you speak to someone. There's lots of things. But I think one of the most important things is, you can speak to someone and you're told not to, and it can hurt a person and the relationship and Jesus, or, you know, that we're supposed to do it this way. But I think we're given a roadmap, which is we have to go back. You mentioned the root earlier. I think we have to go back to 2 Corinthians 10:6. It says we are to take every thought captive. Yeah. What are you thinking that's causing you to feel this way? In other words, you have to think through what you are thinking. So when you go to make a post, someone that's out there and they're saying, you know what, I'm so angry. Okay, stop, pause. Go back to 2 Corinthians 10:6. What are you thinking? Think through it. If it's causing you to have a lot of unhealthy emotions. Now, again, let me say negative emotions, because emotions to themselves are not unhealthy. God gave you all emotions, so you'll know whether something's good, right, whatever. But when you go back and you have, what's causing me to feel this negative? Write it down. Or do you feel like you don't have a voice? Mm-hmm. You feel like no one knows your story, and that's why you feel so passionate about this? Rather than vomiting it on social media and closing off the ears like I was, my ears got closed. I just shared with you about sometimes when I see a post, I just want to scroll by it or mute it because I can't. It causes so much pain. Is that the reason? Is it really anger? Or are you feeling grief? Because your story has made you feel, let's just look at real honest. We look at a president right now, the last two presidents. That's where the polarization, a lot of it's coming from.
Yeah.
You didn't see it this way. You didn't see it that way. And so we have stories. Well, here's why you feel so passionate about this issue or this issue. And we have to be able to break it down. What is it about that issue that is so important to you? If you really want people to listen to you well, and it's not just about having a counter answer, because we always say, well, you need to have an answer. If you're going to bring it up, you better have something you're going to fix it with. We don't always have the answer to something, right? But when we can break it down and go, what is it that it's causing me to feel like this? And then unpack that. Even if you need to go to somebody else, sit down and say, I'm really feeling this way. Because once you put it out there, it's like now, it's like, oh, here we go. Perfect example. When you break trust with someone, it's like you have a bank account. When you break trust, you've made a withdrawal from that relational bank account.
You sure have, yeah.
And they say once you make that, it takes about 5 deposits to get your account back to where it was. Yep. So once you've done that withdrawal, think through what you're thinking before you ever do it, because that withdrawal is huge. And like I just said with me, it can last a long time.
It can last a long time. And boy, there's so many layers here, man, as we're talking about this, because I think one of the things that's so incredible about our relationship is this ability to talk about, you wrote me within, I don't know whether how long, I think you were in the car when you read it or something or heard it, what I wrote, but you wrote me at the first opportunity. Okay. We have such a high level of trust with one another.
Yeah.
My reaction could have been negative. Okay. What's he doing? You know, da, 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 da.
Oh, you mean about the post you made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wrote me right away. But we have such a high level of trust, you know, between us, that what's beautiful about those moments is that we it was symbiotic right away.
Yeah.
You know, thanks. I actually felt grateful to have someone to talk with about this.
Because we need healthy challenging. It creates tension, which makes us think through, okay, why did I do it? What did it cause? Because I immediately came back and I was like, hey, dude, what's up with that?
That's exactly the thing. How would you say?
What's up with that?
It's you never do this.
You know, it's like different branches of the military. They can tease each other, right? Uh-huh. Oh, you're a jarhead. You know, you can go back and, but they respect you.
Yep. Yep. And trust and respect are two sides of the same coin, if you will. And can I also say that since your audience is mostly men, okay, respect is our golden coin.
It's the number two man killer that I talked about.
Exactly.
Lack of respect.
And I'll tell you, nothing ignites me from 0 to 100 miles an hour, like feeling, not somebody intending, but feeling like I've been disrespected, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what has brought that disrespect on, and I mean, it's one of those things that I see red on. Okay. I mean, I don't know whether everybody has a I see red moments, but I don't think you do have I see red moments. I do. Okay. And I lose all perspective when I get that angry. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it is very important in relationship that respect is maintained. Trust is maintained, so my ears remain open and my heart is available.
And we can only do that when we stay in the moment because usually if you're getting upset about something like disrespect or whatever, we're thinking about a past thought, the way someone treated me, or a future thought. You know, it's that living in between, that stay in the moment.
Yeah. Boy, is that hard.
Hey,
that is incredible.
I know we're getting short on time. I wanted to go to a few things.
Oh, man, are we getting short on time? Here's the problem.
I know.
Our Panera moments are like this. I mean, two hours later.
We both just said 2 hours. Yeah, and all jacked up on coffee. So I made this post, and here's what I said. I want to kind of preface it with this. I went to Facebook this morning knowing that you were going to be here today, and I said, I need your input on today's episode of Unleashed. I'll be talking about the constant flood of political posts and how it's affecting us, and I want to include your thoughts in the conversation. I said, so here's the question, or questions, whatever. How do all the political posts in your feed affect you? Do they shift your mood? Do they drain your trust in others? Do they make you want to hide, lash out, or quietly unfollow people, like I just talked about, you know, that you once respected? Be honest. I said, have you ever lost connection or changed how you feel about someone simply because they constantly keep pushing their views online? And then I said, and now let's go to a deeper level. When does a post cross the line? Is it when the name calling starts? When violence is given a green light? When someone assassinates another person's character just because they don't align with a certain party or train of thought? And then I said, our world is louder than ever, but not everything that's loud is wise.
Yeah.
Drop your thoughts below. I said, now let me just kind of give a brief thing on that, and then we'll wrap this up. So I'm not going to read all these. I'm just going to start off with the first one that came in. Let's just do that. Maybe the first and second one.
This was a Facebook post you put out just so people know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all of us, I think we go, my gosh, I'm so sick and tired of seeing political stuff on social media. Can I, or advertisements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're just like, can I just show me puppies? You know, not, but fun stuff. I mean, family, relationships, right? Yeah. don't keep causing divisiveness. I get tired of it. So anyhow, so some of these people were too, and they said, here was the first post. I'm just done with it, honestly. I'm tired of the constant barrage, honestly, from both sides. Tired of opening my social media that I used to enjoy, seeing the joy of things going on in my friends' lives, the vacations, the success, etc., to now only see the constant barrage of he said, she said. My side is better than yours, you know, lies and mistrust. You can't honestly believe anything anymore from anyone when it comes to politics. I've actually resorted to not unfollowing, but snoozing, like we talked about, several people on my newsfeed because of their literal hatred-filled posts. Let me just read the next one, and then we'll just kind of end this thing. Next person said, I don't believe God gives a hoot about our political parties. He said, his relationship with us is on an individual basis, but if the political platform we embrace takes us away from God, God's favor for our nation will suffer. I try to keep an open mind to left and right views, but being conservative, he said, I do make comments from time to time, and in my mind, I may even say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I've never deleted anyone, though, no matter how I feel. I think we have all been there. We can look at something and because maybe we've thought something through, but they haven't had a chance to yet because they're acting on impulse because that feeling, something they just heard, saw, experienced, was a trigger.
Yeah.
And so here's what I want to kind of bring things back to today. When you have those things in your life that cause you to trigger, it's kind of like stop, drop, and roll, right? I want you to challenge you with something. Here we go. Another 30-day challenge. You don't even know. Maybe you start with saying, well, here's how I'm feeling, right? I'm feeling this way.
Sure.
Because sometimes we don't know what the thought is. But then write down, what am I thinking that's making me feel this way? And then act that way. Because if it doesn't line up with the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, joy, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, then we know somewhere in that thought there's a lie we're buying into.
That's right.
I think it's so important that we do these things.
Hey, I don't know about you, but that 45 minutes went by way, way, way too fast. I always enjoy my time when I get to sit down with Brent across the coffee, but this one was different because we had you at the table as well. And we hope we may have helped you understand a few of the fault lines in the relationships that you have and understand how maybe, just maybe, you can find your way to gain a unity with one another, not uniformity, not creating a place where people have to think the same way as we do, but are allowing us to always be committed to one another, no matter how distinct we may be in opinions and ideas from one another. I know that Brent and I don't agree on everything, but there is nothing that will fracture our friendship. We're committed to that, and we enjoy it so much. Hey, if you have an idea that you want to share with us for future, don't forget to write us story.mosaics.
Write down your thoughts. Sit down and say, here's what I'm thinking.
One@gmail.com story.mosaics1@gmail.com. We'll look forward to hearing from you on Story Mosaics.